This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Good morning to you. It's Tuesday. It should be easier today. If Monday was a bear, it was for me. It was for Brad Heller. We were just talking about it before his update. It's hard to get back on your atypical schedule or your typical schedule. If you were off it for the Thanksgiving holiday, it's difficult. So the snow on Monday made it a little easier for me. I love snow. This New Hampshire girl, I pray for snow. I love driving in snow with Princess Leia. She's my Subaru Forester. She's great in the snow. My dog adores snow. So even at 10 years old now, Penny will run and romp and roll in the snow. It's her favorite. She was all excited to get out there and play. So we did. We played in the snow on Monday afternoon, and that kind of made Monday a little bit easier. So I put up some pictures. Maybe you don't like snow, or maybe you don't see very much snow. It's kind of funny. I put them on my personal Facebook page, or one of them anyway, and some of my friends in Cuba liked it. They've never seen snow except for in pictures. So I know if you've never seen it or you're not around it a lot, it's a bit of a novelty. It is pretty. I'll tell you that it is beautiful. So you can check out the pictures on Facebook or on my Twitter, A-Law Radio. And it certainly did help me smile when I woke up. But now it's Tuesday. So this march through the work week should be getting a little bit easier. Plus, we are just over 3 weeks away for Christmas. You've got stuff to do. Get up. I have barely started. I bought 2 Christmas presents. That's it. I bought 1 item on Cyber Monday. Just 1. I didn't have time to shop. Christmas tree is coming on Wednesday, decorating this weekend. I know a lot of you have plenty of holiday preparations, so it's that time of the year. It's busy. And we're down to just 1 month left in the NFL regular season. That's it. So we've got 4 weeks of football before the playoffs, the January tournament bracket is upon us. And man, there's been some really impressive moving and shaking over the last few weeks. The Seattle Seahawks are definitely part of that. And as I was watching their win over the Vikings on Monday night and listening to Russell Wilson mic'd up, which is a hoot, by the way, I don't think he does that for the benefit of the microphone. That's just who he is. It struck me that Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson are a match made in sports heaven. Going back to 2012, when Carroll tabbed Wilson as the starter out of preseason, out of training camp, Wilson was named the starter as a rookie. Russ has not missed a start since, going back to the 2012 season. They've won a Super Bowl. They've been to another Super Bowl. They very rarely fail to win double-figure games. All their extensive experience, the time, that relationship forged through adversity, forged through just the number of hours, the sheer amount of time they've spent together. But they start to act like one another. Their personalities and their approach to football, their competitiveness, but their optimism, their calm under pressure, all of that, perfect fit. And so it started me thinking about other perfect pairs and terrific tandems in sports. And we've got a few in the football world, to be sure. But we've been taking your responses throughout sports, not just football. And it doesn't have to be a player and a coach. It can be 2 athletes. One of my examples from hockey, Sidney Crosby and Evgeny Malkin. It could be a general manager or a team president and a coach who've had a successful relationship. It could be 2 coaches. Whoever it is, we're looking for your perfect pairs in sports, your matches made in sports heaven on this Twizzler Tuesday. So on Twitter or Facebook, and we'll get to your phone calls, 855-212-4227, 855-212-4CBS. The third quarter was a major turning point for the Seattle Seahawks, able to pitch a shutout. So it wasn't just the offense that put a bunch of points on the board. It was also the defense that forced a three and out and then punched the ball away from Dalvin Cook. And actually in the process, he re-injured his shoulder and he was out the rest of the game. It was about picking off Kirk Cousins, though I technically that was with no time gone off the clock in the fourth quarter. So it was right at the beginning, the very first play of the fourth quarter. But the avalanche started in the third. And the way the defense is aggressive, they're ball hawking, a couple of mistakes by the Minnesota Vikings opened up the floodgates. And then you can see the explosiveness and the aggressiveness of these Seahawks.
Penny in the backfield. Metcalf, far side wide. Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks. From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes and said, here you go. Serves it up on a platter, and the Seahawks are on top 26-17, and they're doing the hula in the end zone, the Seahawks receivers. Wow, what a big play for Seattle. Russell takes a shotgun snap, looks, tosses a little flare pass to Penny. He turns upfield, 10, 5, he's in! Touchdown, Seahawks! Rashad Penny, for the second week in a row, has gunpowder burns on his behind. He's fired out of a shotgun.
I don't know if that's politically correct in every circle, but I love that call from Steve Rabel on the Seahawks radio network. He makes it so much fun to listen to the game. Rashad Penny and Chris Carson, a 1-2 punch. They were fantastic. So Penny had 117 total yards, both rushing and receiving, and two touchdowns, as Rabel mentions. Carson was over 100 yards rushing. He's been their bell cow when it comes to the ground game specifically, and 218 yards total on the ground. Against the Vikings. This is a team that runs the ball and stuffs the run. That's the mantra for Mike Zimmer. And yet at CenturyLink Field, with the Russell Wilson threat, of course, it kind of works in tandem, right? When you have a power run game, it opens things up for the receivers. It creates more space. It gives them more room to operate. It's hard to double team receivers when you've got a run game that is so dangerous the way the Seahawks do. 218 yards rushing against a Mike Zimmer defense. That is impressive. And it certainly makes Russell Wilson's job a whole lot easier.
We got two great backs. I mean, you got guys who, you know, who can, they're star running backs in the league. And you see Penny hit the corner, his speed and his power that he runs with downhill. You see Chris Carson, what he's been able to do his whole time. He's been on, you know, a Seahawk. And it's just been great just having those two guys run the football that well.
It felt like a championship game in the stadium. Fans were just extraordinarily good tonight, and it was just felt as good as we could ever remember it in terms of their energy and juice, and it just makes it so much fun to be part of this whole thing, and so thrilled to see that came to life, and they hung with us.
Funny that Pete Carroll should mention the playoff atmosphere, because right now, with that win, now 10-2, and with a tie break currently over the San Francisco 49ers, the Seahawks are tops in the NFC West. And we've got a log jam at 10-2. How about this? The Saints, the Seahawks, and the Niners all 10-2. Now, you know what happens in week 14, right? As luck would have it, I just rolled my eyes. I don't know how the NFL gets it this way. They orchestrate these things for some reason. They always seem to have the game coming up between two powers, two teams on hot streaks. The game. Saints and Niners will play this weekend. And so, of course, the Seahawks are thrilled with that, because if they take care of business, either the Niners or the Saints are going to take a step back. So they're going to duke it out. Take one another out. As for the Seahawks with their schedule, what they've come through in the last month. So ever since they lost the game to the Baltimore Ravens on their own field, they've racked up 5 wins in a row. But the last 3 to me have been particularly impressive. Now you could look at what happened with the Eagles in Philadelphia. They only scored 17 points. They certainly had a lot of missed opportunities, but they won on the road against a team that theoretically was desperate. I guess if you ask Doug Peterson about this past week and the loss to the Dolphins, he would tell you they weren't desperate enough. But I still say a road win against a team as disciplined and as experienced as the Eagles is huge. So they've now won five in a row, but at the Niners, at the Eagles, and home against the Vikings, these three wins have been extremely impressive. Now coming up, they've hit the road for two more. So they're in a stretch now where the Seahawks play four of five away from CenturyLink. On the road at Los Angeles, and then they go to the Panthers. It's a lot of traveling. They finish up with the Cardinals and then the Niners the last weekend of the regular season. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio. We talked about the New England Patriots and the flu bug that they were dealing with against the Texans. Seahawks, same thing. There were a half dozen players who were listed on the injury report with illness. And it's kind of rough, right? When you're in a locker room and you're with these guys all the time, these germs get passed around. And they love close games. I don't think you can blame the flu. But if you look at the number of games they've played that have come down to a single score, single digits, it's essentially their entire schedule. Only two games, 10 of their 12 games we're talking about being separated by just a handful of points. And that's also great for upcoming postseason. Whether they do hit the road, if they don't win the NFC West, they're going to have to play on the road. It's a team that hasn't lost on the road this season. And so all of this is great preparation for what's to come in January. And again, it brings me back to that relationship between Pete Carroll and Russell Wilson and how key that is as an ingredient to their success. It's really the anchor and the foundation for everything the Seahawks are doing. And if you think about the transition they've had on their roster as well as on their coaching staff, the number of coordinators and coaches that have left for other jobs, it's a tribute to Pete Carroll, but it also means they've gone through a lot of transition. And yet here they are because of that relationship in many ways. I love the tone it sets for the Seahawks. But those kind of relationships take time. There's no shortcut to a relationship like that one. And so as much as many of you are pointing to John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, it's so early in their relationship. Not the same thing. Brady Belichick is a great one. My example was Tom Brady and Julian Edelman. How often does Brady rely on him? The two of them don't really need to speak. They get it. Hand signals, facial expressions, body language, they've been together for that long that they don't even need to talk. Those are the best relationships, right? Whether it's sports or real life. The best relationships where you don't need to fill all the space, where it's not necessary to use words to communicate. So who are the perfect pairs in sports? I've got my list up. It's not an exhaustive list, but it's just a starter. So you can find that on Twitter, A-Law Radio, also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. If you missed my conversation with Mike Ferrari from Seattle, he's a sports director for KOMO TV. Not only did we talk about that relationship and we talked about the Seahawks and what they've done so far this season, but the surprise resignation of Chris Peterson at the University of Washington, major lightning strike in the world of college football. And so I asked him about that as well and the reasons and what the reaction was in the University of Washington community. So you can check that out on our podcast, After Hours, AmyLawrence.com. Our phone number is 855-212-4227. We have your candidates for Touchdown Tuesday coming up. And thanks for all your answers to our question on this Tuesday morning. Wake up! It's After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. It's a Touchdown Tuesday on After Hours.
Firing for the end zone. Caught! Touchdown! touchdown!
Takes it himself to the pylon, touchdown!
1 man to beat 10, he's gone!
They throw to the end zone, touchdown!
Made a guy miss, he's inside the 5, he's to the 3-2-1, touchdown!
Center zoning into the end zone, touchdown!
To cast your vote for the TD of the week, head to @AfterHoursCBS on Twitter or give us a call at 855-212-4227. The Seattle Seahawks.
Penny in the backfield. Medcalf, far side wide. Russell's got time. He's got David Moore wide open. Moore makes the catch. 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Seahawks! From 60 yards, Russ looked up, saw David Moore running right past Xavier Rhodes, and said, here you go, serves it up on a platter, and the Seahawks are on top, 26-17, and they're doing the hula in the end zone, the Seahawks receivers. Wow, what a big play for Seattle.
The Miami Dolphins.
Fourth and goal, looks like they're bringing Sanders out. Yeah.
Fake.
They're going to fake this thing. The Dolphins have players spread all over the field. 5 to the left, 4 to the right. They run it. They throw a touchdown. Unbelievable.
The Houston Texans.
Out of the gun, they give to Johnson, who gives it back to DeAndre Hopkins, who pitches it to Deshaun Watson, running down the sidelines and running in for the touchdown. Oh, my goodness, DeAndre Hopkins with the option pitch to Deshaun Watson and a touchdown for the Texans. Some razzle-dazzle gives him a 27-9 lead.
The Tennessee Titans.
Vinatieri, 46-yard field goal, left hash for the lead. Snap, set, kick, block. Ty Smith has it. 50, 40, 30, 20, 10, 5. End zone! Touchdown, Titans! Ty Smith to the house!
Those are your candidates for TD of the Week, Touchdown Tuesday, as we affectionately call it here. Steve Rabel, most recently, Monday Night Football, 60-yard bomb from Russell Wilson to David Moore. Clearly a blown coverage, and yet it was so pretty to watch that ball in flight against the Minnesota Vikings. So Steve Rabel, again, the voice on the Seahawks radio network. How about that crazy trickeration? The Dolphins radio network with the call of a fake field goal that turned into a touchdown from Matt Hawk to Jason Sanders. Maybe the only time those two guys are ever even sniffing Touchdown Tuesday. It was kind of a neat moment for them. And of course, it set social media on fire because no idea what that was. Mike Keith on the Titans radio network with the call of what was a first for the Indianapolis Colts. They'd never given up a blocked field goal for a touchdown, but it worked. Ty Smith to the house. And then finally, more trickeration, trick and treat for the Houston Texans on Sunday Night Football as they, I don't even know what they call this play, but I liked it, as they have the snap from Duke Johnson, or the handoff from Duke Johnson to DeAndre Hopkins, and then Hopkins throwing the ball to a Deshaun Watson who races out wide and flies over the pylon. And as I have been asking you about perfect pairs and terrific tandems in sports, Jose replies to me, Deshaun Watson and DeAndre Hopkins. It's one that I kind of toyed with and tossed out earlier, and I love it. I think that's a great answer. By the way, you chose Deshaun Watson as the player of the week. It's brought to you by Grainger. Let's take a quick look back at what he did on Sunday Night Football. Again, he called this a win that meant a little more, because it's the New England Patriots, because of the struggle that the Texans have had against the Pats in their franchise history, but also because generally the road to the AFC goes through New England, like it or not. And even if they're not the number one seed, very often you've got to beat the best if you want to be the best. And so for Deshaun Watson, he ends up 18 of 25, 234 yards through the air, 4 total touchdowns, 3 passing, and then his first career receiving touchdown, and he was your choice for Player of the Week. Brought to you by Grainger. Grainger's got your back when it comes to the safety and industrial supplies that keep your facility running. Get what you need when you need it at Grainger.com. I love this answer from Mike on Twitter. He says, Joe Thornton and Brett Burns. Absolutely. Of the San Jose Sharks. They have the matching beards. They were in ESPN, the magazine's body issue together. So clearly they're comfortable with one another, but they're also tone setters and leaders for the Sharks. And I didn't put that in my list, but they were definitely a terrific tandem that I thought of. Let's talk to Taco, who's in Florida. Welcome to After Hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, Amy, how you doing?
I'm good.
Hey, I had a couple. I had the Marx Brothers with Dan Marino. Okay. And Jimmy Johnson and Jerry Jones.
Oh, for sure. One of those relationships that was productive but also cantankerous, had a little acrimony to it.
Yeah, it was what could have happened with the Cowboys had they put their egos aside. And but we're freezing down here. It's about 52 degrees, and the world's coming to an end for us.
And what part let's not be melodramatic.
Fort Lauderdale.
It is a little bit of a cold snap. A friend of mine who lives in Orlando mentioned the same thing.
Oh yeah, well Orlando, they really get cold. They get down to like the 30s up there. You know, that's crazy.
I don't know how you do it. I'd be bored out of my mind. I need four seasons. I love four seasons. I have to live in a place where we get to celebrate all four.
You know, when we go on vacation, we do go to cold places for vacation, you know, but I couldn't do that all the time. And
it's not cold here all the time. For people who don't know, New York City is where CBS Sports Radio is based. It's not cold all the time. We have hot, we have heat, we have spring, we have fall. It's not like it's snowing here 7 months out of the year.
Well, good 5 months.
Oh, no, not even that. I mean, last year was a really light winter, so it just kind of depends. Now, I don't golf. Uh-huh. I don't golf year-round, so that's, I guess, a bit of a disadvantage. But I love the four seasons.
You get to go snow skiing.
Yeah, no, I mean, I haven't in a really long time. My basketball coach has put the Knicks on that, but definitely that is a benefit to snow. But just in general, it's beautiful. I love it.
Hey, you have a Merry Christmas, and I love your show.
Thanks, Taco. Good to talk to you. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line brought to you by Geico with a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on your car insurance. So matches made in sports heaven. I actually came up with some that are way outside the box. So I tweeted the Splash Brothers, Klay Thompson and Steph Curry. But honestly, I think the Steve Kerr, Draymond Green relationship is one that really is the engine that has served the Warriors so well. They obviously clash. They're both very passionate and very competitive. But Steve Kerr knew what he had with Draymond, put him into the starting lineup, said, we're going to anchor this defense with you. And he's talked about how Draymond is the piece, the spirit, kind of the soul, the heart of that team when they're on the court. He does everything. He's willing to do anything that you ask of him. And obviously, he's a vocal leader as well. So that one is kind of outside the box. Anyway, you can check out my answers on Twitter. I need to put them up on Facebook, too. I very often just ignore you Facebookers, which is to my detriment, of course. So many of you love our Facebook page. And then we'll get back to your calls. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Michael Dixon will punt. Oh, it's a fake. It's to Homer, who is the protector at the 30. Up the near side, the 40. The 50 got a block at the 45. Down the near sideline, the 40. And the fake punt brings the Seattle Seahawks down to the 38-yard line of Minnesota. What a call! What a call!
Oh, it's Monday night, baby. We got that dub at the crib. Y'all know what time it is. 10-2. I don't know where we ranked that now. We'll talk about it.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Jadeveon Clowney on Twitter following the Monday Night Football victory. all fired up. The fans at CenturyLink all fired up. It was quite the victory. Huge for them because they now have the same record in the NFC West as the Niners. So they've caught the Niners. They temporarily have the tiebreak. We'll see what happens in week 17 because they still have to play their second game in the season rivalry. And that'll take place in Seattle, where, coincidentally, they have lost their only two games of the year that they've dropped have come at home. So they're perfect on the road, which may be where they start the playoffs if they end up as a wild card team. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. It's good to talk to you on this Tuesday morning. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Vote for TD of the Week. And we're taking your perfect pairs in sports, your terrific tandems. We love alliteration here. So Chris came up with a couple of those to use as hashtags. Also on our Facebook page, named after the show. Coming up on Sunday, it's another NFL on CBS doubleheader, week 14. And I cannot wait for this game. Baltimore's MVP candidate Lamar Jackson and the Ravens hit the road into Western New York. Orchard Park, to be exact. Can we please have snow? Can we please have snow for that game? It would be amazing in Buffalo. Then it's followed by a rematch of last year's AFC Championship game when the Patriots welcomed the Chiefs. It all starts with the NFL today at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific, only on CBS.
And everything's coming up Buffalo.
We actually had a discussion internally about whether or not John Brown's touchdown pass should be part of TD of the Week. And it's hard because we only have four candidates. But, man, we had some trickeration. We had some unique play calls. We had some stunners. I mean, the twists and turns that the NFL season has taken through the first several months. But, man, all kinds of crazy stuff happening on the field just in week 13 alone. I think the Thanksgiving spirit was all around. So we've got some good stuff coming up in week 14, but a couple of days to get ready to be sure. 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4CBS. We didn't yet talk about the Kirk Cousins piece of this. And I know a lot of the conversation, the narrative on Tuesday morning will revolve around Kirk Cousins and the fact that he's never won a Monday Night Football and those big moments where he seems to come up short. And he did throw an interception early in the fourth quarter. That was on him. But this game wasn't on him. I mean, it's that quarterback wins and losses stat I absolutely despise, because I don't think in the spirit of team sport, and you're talking about for instance, basketball team who's what got 12 guys in a roster, but a football team who's got 53 on the active roster alone, the quarterback's only on the field half the time theoretically and can only affect so much of the game. And I know it's an impactful position, I'm not saying it isn't. But it always irks me that we keep track of quarterback wins and losses and not, say, kickers wins and losses, or defensive linemen. Why can't Von Miller have wins and losses attached to his name? It's just a ick. I don't like the implication that a quarterback wins and loses games all by himself. However, we're obsessed with our QBs. And Kirk Cousins gets outed all the time for these national televised games where he doesn't win. Blech. And so I saw the stat all over on social media on Monday night. Certainly the defense plays a major role in this. We already played the David Moore touchdown. In fact, that 60-yard bomb from Russell Wilson to Moore is one of our TD of the Week candidates. The defense had breakdowns. Dalvin Cook lost a fumble that led directly to the field goal that the Seahawks used to break the tie in the third quarter. I mean, there's plenty of blame to go around. But it's going to be Kirk Cousins that people point to. And one thing I appreciate about quarterbacks, certainly the best quarterbacks, the veteran quarterbacks, they're willing to accept the blame. They will, in fact, take it upon themselves.
After a game like tonight, I'd like to get out there tomorrow and play the next one, you know. So you just get back to work. You understand how important these these last four games are, but you don't even look at it as four games. You look at it as Detroit 1 week from now, and or one less than a week from now, and then you look ahead after that.
The Vikings still have to play every other team in the NFC North. And while they've fallen behind the Packers by a game in the division standings, they've got Lions coming up, as Kirk mentions. Then they're on the road at the Chargers. Oh, beware. That was a pitfall for the Packers. Then they're back home in Minneapolis to take on the Packers, which will be a critical game. It's 2 days before Christmas. It's a Monday night game, 2 days before Christmas. Well, if I'm not mistaken, is that the last Monday night game? They don't do a Monday night game on the final week of the season, right? I don't think that they do, but I could be making things up. That's been known to happen. And then they finish up with the Bears in week 17. And so they still have everything that they want in front of them, which is why Mike Zimmer is not jumping off the cliff just yet.
Everybody acts like this is the end of the world. It's not the end of the world. We lost one game tonight. We're 8-4. We've got four games left, three division games. So, you know, this isn't the end of the world. We still got a lot of good football left to play.
They do. And if you look at the standings, right now there's a very clear line of demarcation among those teams that appear to have the playoffs in front of them and those teams that do not. I was right, by the way. There is no Monday Night Football game week 17. And so the last Monday Night Football game of the season, is going to be a doozy. Vikings Packers. The NFC North. It's always such good football. Good rivalries. Hard-nosed. Some good quarterbacks. We've seen the run games really develop in that division outside of the Lions. It's still a work in progress. But we've got such long-standing traditions as well. And the Vikings are part of that. And getting back to the standings, while they are a full game back of the Packers, and while you've got three teams at 10-2, that's where you kind of can draw the line in the sand. Saints, Seahawks, Niners, Packers, Vikings. Now, I get it. We have to take a team from the NFC East. It's required. It's the rules. Don't shoot the messenger. It's the rules. The Cowboys are 6-6. And yes, everything they want is still in front of them in the final month of the season. They could finish with double-figure wins. The Eagles could still overtake them. Oh, my gosh. Such a soap opera. But the idea that we're going to get two teams out of the East is slim. The probability is slim to none. And so the Vikings, Packers, Saints, Seahawks, Niners, it's crazy to think that two of those teams could end up on the road. More than likely will play on the road. Not the Saints, though. We know they've already clinched the South Division, the only team that has locked up a playoff spot, and obviously the only team that's locked up a division crown. 855-212-4227, getting a bunch of your tweets as well. Bill on Facebook points to Alex Ovechkin and Nicklas Backstrom as one of the terrific tandems. Or dynamic duo. There's another alliteration. Oh, so good on this Tuesday morning. I know I'm probably the only one who is amused by it. Let's see. Another tweet. Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. A little bit of a throwback, but certainly is a dynamic duo in sports that you could look at and know that they set the tone for an entire franchise. Some of you are disputing the idea that Brady and Edelman are a top duo. And I know Brady and Belichick. I was thinking outside the box a little bit. I think both those relationships are critical. But this is not one of those right or wrong answers. It's an opinion. And I couldn't think of them all. My list includes... Actually, the list that I wrote in the margins on my paper includes Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes. It's still relatively new, but I think Mahomes is the perfect quarterback for what Andy Reid wants to do, and Reid has certainly brought in the personnel that works for his system. And you can already see those two guys developing that communication and that relationship being so productive. They speak highly of one another, and yet it hasn't been easy. And so that one is definitely one that I think could, if they stayed together, could be along the lines of a Belichick-Brady, a Drew Brees-Sean Payton, certainly a Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll. Gosh, and there's just no shortcut to it. Which is why, and I'm not telling you it isn't a great relationship between John Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson, but it's why that one I kind of balk from a little bit, only because, again, they've had great success early on, but it's a small sample size. The trust is starting to be developed, and that's important. It's interesting to think about Philadelphia, too, and I've kind of toyed with this one in my mind. Doug Peterson and Carson Wentz. Now, if Nick Foles were still there, I think that's the relationship that I would look at and say it's one that's been forged in fire and one that definitely sets a tone. And certainly, Foles was so important for the Eagles, their locker room presence, but also their success over the last couple of years. That's undisputed. But Peterson has been committed to Carson Wentz, willing to wait through the ups and downs, the injuries. And we'll see. We'll see how the adversity of this season. Again, not all hope is lost, but it's fading. That bright light is much dimmer. And they're in some pretty frustrating times right now. So can that relationship survive and get stronger? Well, we're going to find out. But to hear Doug Peterson on 94 FM WIP in Philadelphia talk about the loss of the Dolphins, whoo, is this put up or shut up time for the Eagles?
I'm disgusted. I'm mad. I'm angry. And I'm probably more so mad at myself. You know, I feel like the things that I mentioned after the game, things I mentioned even to the team about our discipline, our consistency, the lack of that showed up in this football game, that's on me. I give them a lot of respect. This is the National Football League. They played harder than we did. And that's why I said that I'm disappointed because of that. They wanted this one a little bit more than we did, and they made the plays, and we didn't. We were an undisciplined football team that cost us in multiple situations that, quite frankly, are unacceptable by me.
Eagles head coach Doug Peterson laying it on the line, 94 WIP in Philadelphia. I mean, how can the Dolphins want it more when you are still in the running for an NFC East title and you know the Cowboys have taken steps backward? You know it's there for the taking. And yet somehow the Eagles didn't want it as much as the Dolphins. That's gross. And so Doug Peterson should be disgusted, and he should be angry, and he should be mad at himself and his team. And maybe they have to have another locker room meeting. Maybe they have to have another come to Jesus moment. But three consecutive losses right now is unacceptable, especially against the competition they faced. So will that relationship get stronger? We shall see. Anything worth having is worth sacrificing for. All right, I hope you have a great day. We'll be back tonight for Hump Show. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Boom!
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.